having a good week. And if you got your Bibles, I'll be in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Talked to the preacher this afternoon. They said they were having a good time, and Brother Edward had preached this morning over in service up there, and I know they're probably having a ball, him and Brother Joe. There ain't no telling what they're getting into, and there ain't no telling what trouble they've already got into, but I'm sure we'll hear all about it when he gets home. But Ephesians chapter number 2, I'll try to bring out what the Lord gave us, and then we'll go to the house. Ephesians chapter number 2, if you would, stand to your feet, and I'll read a few verses, and I'll let you be seated and bring out what the Lord gave us. Ephesians chapter number 2, we'll start reading in verse number 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Let us pray. Lord, thank You for this day. God, thank You, Lord, for each one that's gathered here. Lord, this evening, God, we ask You, Lord, to touch each one, Lord, that come this way. God, You know we've faced different things this week. God, we've all been different places. God, our family have faced different circumstances this week. God, but we ask You, Lord, to help us clear our minds this evening, God, and get in touch with You. Lord, help us, God, that You would we'd be open, Lord, to what You have for us tonight. Lord, that You would speak to us. Lord, speak to each heart, Lord, that's looking for something. Lord, needing something tonight. God, just help us. Lord, be with our preacher. God, as he also, Lord, traveling, doing Your work. God, we ask, Lord, to help him. God, and touch him. Lord, be with the remainder of the services up there. God, touch us tonight. Lord, we love You and we thank You. We ask all in Your name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." And I've heard these verses preached on quite a bit since I've been in church, since I've been saved. And Brother Darnell, as much as I read these verses, they've never got old to me. And Paul starts off in the first chapter of Ephesians, and he's kind of setting the foundation, and he's beginning to tell the Ephesian people. He's telling them that he's praying for them, and he's there with them. He's glad that they're a part of the work of God. It's pretty much what he's been telling them. But when you get to chapter number 2 and verse number 1, he says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So Paul starts out in verse number 1 and he's telling them, he says, "I knew who you used to be in the life that you used to live." He said, "You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." He says, "The work that you're doing now, you have not always been doing. You hadn't always been living for God. You haven't always been serving God. You hadn't always been in church." He said, "And you hath He quickened." That word quickened means to revive or make alive. He said, "You've quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He said, "You used to live a life that was under subject to the world. You lived a life that you weren't worried about what God thought about how you were living. You wasn't worried about the things of God. You wasn't worried about church. You wasn't worried about anything because you were living a life of sin. Your life was bound by sin." That's what he was saying. And then in verse number 2, he says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Who's that? Satan himself. He says, he's saying, I know how you used to live. Everything that you're doing, it wasn't pleasing to God. Brother Darnell, I got to thinking about these verses, and as I began to study, and the preacher asked me to preach, and these verses came to my mind, I was thinking, I began to compare my life to what Paul was saying right here. He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And I can relate to this. It says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." I remember when I was there, Brother Tracy. I remember the life I used to live. And by testimony of people in this church, Brother Darnell, I've heard you testify. I've heard Brother Bradley testify. I've heard our preacher say the life that he's lived in. But none of us really know the life that we used to live. None of us really know the sin that we were in. Now, I could tell you where I've been, but you really don't know the place that I was in because you haven't lived my life. You haven't been down the roads that I've been down. And same with Brother Darnell. I've heard Brother Darnell's testimony of how he got saved out of jail. Everybody can't relate to him because they haven't been in that place before. Every one of us, God has saved us out of a different place, out of a different life, out of a different atmosphere, out of a different, every part of life that you can imagine. God saved us out of that stuff. He's quickened us.
made us alive, revived us, brought us out of that life. Paul started off, he says, man, he says, even though you're serving God right now, I can remember how we used to live. And if we're not careful, I'll be honest with you. I find myself doing this a lot. I think that I'm giving myself the best life when really I look back and realize, hey, that if it hadn't been for God, Brother Tracy, I wouldn't have what I have today. A lot of times we like to say, well, I'm doing this. I've got my house. I'm paying the bills. I'm bringing in the money. I'm doing all this. But it's God that's given you the ability to be able to do all of that. It's God that's instilled the power inside of you to be able to do them things. Paul says, I remember the life that you used to live. Paul could relate to this because he used to live a life the same way. A man that used to persecute the church, he was trying to kill them, stoning them, doing everything he could to stop the work of Christ. But when Paul got saved, his whole life was changed. So he went from Saul to Paul when he met the Lord. How great is it when we used to live a life of sin, but when our life is turned away from that life of sin and turned to Christ, man, what a great decision. What a life that's ruined, a life that's in shambles, a life that's falling apart, on how a God can take something that's so broken and so torn apart and He can make it whole again. That's an amazing God. And Paul was saying, hey, he says, don't, I believe he was writing this and he wanted them to remember, hey, I know what you used to be. I know the road that you've been down. He said in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Brother Darnell, I don't know about you, but when I was lost, I remember the life that I used to live. I didn't care what nobody thought about me, the words that I said. Hey, I didn't care what come out of my mouth. Why? Because I had no regard for them things. I could care less what I said. I think about, man, I have guys I work with. They know I go to church. They know I preach. They know I try to live right and do right. But listen to me. Some of them guys, they do not care on how many times you tell them you go to church, how many times you preach. They don't care about any of that. Why? Because the Christ is not inside of them. They don't have the life that we have. They don't know any better. But Brother Darnell, if I can keep showing them Christ, maybe one day they'll see what they're missing out on. They'll see that they need this Jesus that we preach. They'll see they need this Jesus that we come in here and worship. They'll see that they need this, how important it really is. He says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. Listen to me, you don't have to get up here and tell everybody where you've been. It ain't none of my business where you've been, to be honest. I hear people get up and they tell about every sin they've done, every road they've been down, every bar they went to. Listen to me, we don't need to know all that. Just get up and say how good God's been to you. I don't need to know, hey, listen, to every place you've been in life, just tell me how good God has been to you. When you tell everybody how many mess ups you've had and how many things you've done wrong, that's just giving an opportunity for somebody to run down the road and talk about you. Because, you know how I know that? Because I've seen people do it before. Somebody will get up and testify and they'll say, man, God brought me out of this. And all of a sudden somebody will say, man, they've done that before. They've been doing that before. Man, shame on them. They don't see Christ. All they see is the life that you used to live before that. And you say people shouldn't be like that in church. I agree. But listen to me. Everybody don't have the same mindset as people wanting to serve God and bring honor and glory to God. Everybody don't have that mindset. I know what it is. I hate to say this, but I know what it's like to go to church and you have to feel like you're looking over your shoulder all the time, wondering about who's going to talk about you. Wondering about who's gonna get on the phone and badmouth you if you say this, if you go and do this. Wondering about what's gonna happen next. And listen to me, I'm glad we don't go to a church like that here. We can come, listen to me, we all mess up, we all stumble, we all sin. If you don't sin, God help you. I want to talk to you after church and find out how not to. But listen to me, every one of us, at some point today, we sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Ain't none of us higher than anybody else. And God don't look at us any different than He looks at anybody else in here. Just because Brother Edward's the pastor doesn't mean that He looks at Brother Darnell any different than He does Brother Edward. But listen to me, we hold people to a higher standard sometimes because they hold certain positions in the church, or maybe because they do this in the church, maybe because they teach Sunday school. But you got to realize all of us mess up and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's going to fall. And it might be that their sin and their shortcomings fall right here in front of the people in the house of God. But where we make our mistake is when they're down and when they fall, we go ahead and kick them while they're down. instead of praying for them, instead of trying to help them, instead of trying to encourage them and help them get back on the right track, we just go ahead and talk about them and run them down, even though they messed up. Even though they may not been here, they ain't been here in 3 months, they ain't been here 6 months. Hey, just thank God that they did come on that Sunday. Thank God that they did come, even though they're living a life of sin, even though they're living out in the world. Hey, thank God they're still coming to the house of God. They can get help if they just keep coming. But a lot of times we look at people, and just because they mess up one time, we think, man, we can just cut them off. We ain't got to be friends with them no more. We don't want to have anything. Aren't you glad God's not like that?
Amen.
Brother Darnell, if he was like that towards me, I'd been cut off a long time ago. But the good God of heaven, even though I fall and even though I stumble, even though I mess up, Brother Bradley, I do it on a daily basis. Every day I mess up. And sometimes I'm doing the same thing that God has done trying to correct me on before, but I keep doing the same things over and over. But God reaches down His great hand of mercy, and He still loves on me, and He still takes it. What's He do? He gives me chance after chance after chance. Because He's a God of mercy and grace. So the first three verses in chapter number 2, Paul's reminding the people of Ephesians. He's telling them, I know the life that you used to live. But I'm glad Paul didn't leave them in their past. He didn't leave them where they was. He didn't leave their mind thinking about how their life used to be. Listen to this in verse number 4. The first two words, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Them first two words in verse number 4 says it all, but God. Brother Tracy, I can say this, if it hadn't been for the but God in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. How many of you, your families would be messed up tonight? Your family wouldn't even be in church. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be sitting on a church pew tonight. But God stepped into your life and He changed you. He didn't leave you in them first three verses where what Paul was talking about. He didn't leave you in darkness. He didn't leave you in disobedience. He didn't leave you walking and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He didn't leave you in them things. But He put something inside of you to make you want to live a different life. What is that? Salvation. He gave you grace. He gave you mercy. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Paul didn't mention anybody else. He didn't mention Muhammad there. He didn't mention Buddha. He didn't mention the great people in the Bible. But what he mentioned was God Himself. And that's uppercase G. So he didn't mention no little gods of the world, little G gods of the world. No, he mentioned the only one true God, but God.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for God, who was on our side?
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for Him, we wouldn't have what we have. We would not have salvation if it had not been for God. We would still be in our sins. We would still be on our way to hell. But aren't you glad God come and intervened in our lives? Every one of us can stand up and testify if you've been saved tonight. Maybe you don't remember a day. Maybe you don't remember an hour. But you remember that moment when God stepped into your life and changed you. And if you had to tell it, you would probably say it something like this. You've never been the same since. I've seen people get saved. I think about one of my older friends back home, and I don't mean that out of disrespect, but he's a lot older than me, but we've grown to be pretty much best friends. And I'm pretty sure I've told this before, but he used to be a drunk. And that's all he cared about was drinking. He'd go to work, he'd come home drinking, and his wife got in church, his wife got saved. And what she began to do was start praying for Uncle Teddy. And she started praying for him and praying that he would get saved. And he went to an Easter program at church back home. And on that Sunday night, he went home and laid down on his bed that night. And God began to deal with his heart. I'm talking about a drunkard now. The world had done said, you know, we can't do anything with you. The world said, we're done with you. No one else wanted to have anything to do with him. No one else cared about him. No one cared about what he was doing in life. No one cared what happened to him after he died. No one cared about that. But somebody was praying for him that cared. He had friends. He thought he had friends. The ones that he was hanging out with on the weekend, during the week, on the job. Hey, he thought them were friends. You had friends before you got saved and you thought them were your friends. But then after you tell them you got saved, what happened to them? They ain't friends no more. I can remember I got saved and I was still in school. I was in middle school. And I can remember going back to school, Brother Darnell, after that youth revival on that Sunday night, after I got saved, and begin to tell my friends about me getting saved. And the first thing they said, Brother Tracy, what happens when you get saved? What do you mean you got saved? Well, with the life that I used to live, I'm not living that life no more. The way I used to talk, I'm not talking like that no more. Something has changed on the inside. What happens? Then people quit calling, them friends quit calling. Why? Because they just don't want to be around this God thing no more. When you start living for Christ, you're going to find out who your real friends are. Paul found out, hey, he was persecuted. Paul was. But he decided to live for Christ. Why? Because he knew it was worth it. So he told the people in Philippi, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person, only thing in this world that can take something that's dead and put life inside of that. Spiritually, Brother Darnell, we were dead on the inside. Physically, we had life. We were still breathing. But on the inside, we were a dead man walking. Why? Because, hey, sin brings forth death. When it is finished, it brings forth death. And if we do not have Christ, we are going to be of all men most miserable, and we're going to die a miserable life if you do not have Christ. But aren't you glad anybody can get to where He is? Anybody can come to the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter how far you've been, how many sins you've done. It doesn't matter how big you think your sins are, how little you think they are, how many mess ups you've done in life. Hey, God can take anything that's dead and make it alive again. When you put Christ into something, it's going to become alive. I'm talking about the God of the universe that created life can put life inside of you. He died for your sins. And He said, and has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm amazed how God can take a bunch of sinners right here at Camden Baptist Church and bring us all together and allow us to worship in this place. How He can take people from every different walk of life. It doesn't matter if you're, and I know we're in 2020, they're trying to divide a race. They're trying to say if you're white, you shouldn't be with the black. The black shouldn't be with the white. Hey, they're trying to separate us. But aren't you glad God does not look at color? He can save the white man just like He can save the black man. He can save the Indian man, the Chinese man. It doesn't matter who you are. God can save you from any walk of life that you've been in. God is no respecter of persons. He says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What you see, when Christ changes somebody, man cannot do that. A preacher, even though a preacher may get up and preach, may preach a message of salvation and someone gets saved after that message has been preached, hey, that preacher didn't have anything. He got up and he was obedient to God. But the salvation process, that man had nothing to do with. God has to do that work inside of that person. But it takes man to be obedient to God, to listen to God, maybe to lead someone to Christ. But Christ can, a man cannot give somebody salvation. Christ has to put that salvation inside of them. A lot of them, I've heard preachers say, they get up and say, I can give you this, I can give you that, if you just send me a little bit of money. But listen to me, Christ will never ask for your money for salvation. He's never going to say you got to put a certain amount of money in the offering plate for you to get saved. It ain't how it works. Hey, it's a free gift. He died for the whole sins of the world. It's a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. Amen. Salvation is free. Money cannot buy. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christ, I'm amazed at how He can take someone that's so messed up in sin, drug addicts, drunkards, whatever it may be, and He can take that person. And even though they may not change in a day, they may not change in a month, they may not change in a year, and they may not be a great preacher in the first few months that they're saved, but God can begin to work on that person. And they begin to read the Bible, and they begin to sit under a sound doctrine and hear good preaching out of the King James Bible. They begin to go to a good biblical church and begin to grow, and God begins to work in that person's life. I'm amazed when you go back and you begin to talk to this person after they got saved on how quickly their life begin to change. How God's working in their life. How they don't talk like they used to. How they tell you that I'm not doing the things that I used to do no more. I don't go to the places I used to go. I don't hang out with the same friends I used to. Why? Because Christ begins to mold them. And begins to do that workmanship inside of them. He begins to work on the inside of them. That's how Christ does. But aren't you glad there was a but God in our life? You cannot do it on your own. You cannot change your life. I've heard people say, I tried to change my life. It seems like I tried to do it for years. I remember we have a man back home, and he had got out of prison, got saved in prison, and I heard his testimony. Brother Daniel, and this is what he said. He said, before I got saved and before I went in prison, he said, I had all the money in the world. I could have bought anything I wanted to. That's what he told me. He said, he loved motorcycles. He could buy any motorcycle he wanted to. Had a nice house. He could buy boats. He could buy trucks. He could buy anything. And he told me, he said, I had this motorcycle that I really wanted. And he said, I made up my mind I was going to get that motorcycle. This right here was going to make me the happiest I ever been in my whole life. He said he went and bought that motorcycle. He was riding home. He got home. He parked that motorcycle. And the joy that he had from getting the motorcycle back to the house was gone just as quick as he got the motorcycle. He thought that was going to bring him happiness. He thought the physical things of this world was going to bring him peace. It was going to bring him joy. But he found out them things could not bring him happiness. Why? Because he was missing Christ in his life. How many people in this world, they're miserable because they're trying to find happiness. They're trying to find joy in everything else. But if they will just turn to Christ, Brother Jeremy, if they will just get and turn and give Him one chance to make him happy, give Him joy, hey, He can do that. He can give them that peace. He can give them that happiness. They just got to give Him one try. You ever tried to find happiness in something? You ever bought something? And man, you're like, you're just real excited to have it. But a week later, you even forgot you got the thing. You get a real nice car, and you like it for the first few months. But after them first few months are gone, you're back on CarMax looking again for a new car because you're tired of that other one. Why? Because we're always looking for something else to make us happy. We're always looking for that next new thing to come out to make us happy. The world is set on the newest iPhone, the newest PlayStation, the newest Xbox. Hey, they're looking for them things. Why? Because that thing brings them joy for a little while. They look forward to them things. But listen to me. What I look forward to is coming here on Sunday morning on the next church service. Wondering what God's going to do that morning. Wondering when we come back on Sunday night, what's God going to do this Sunday night? What's God going to do on Wednesday night? Hey, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what gives me happiness. That's what helps me get through my week. Hey, when y'all come in here and you start singing, and you start testifying, somebody bragging on how good God's been throughout the week, on how God, they're just so glad God saved them and got them out of the mess. Hey, that's what brings joy. I love hearing Brother Darnell testify. I love hearing Brother Dan testify, Brother Tracy testify, Brother David, Brother Jeremy. Why? Because I'm listening to that, hey, and I'm getting strength off of that. Why? Because God's been helping them. And that's what helps us. That's what we get our joy from. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Paul said, but God. If anybody knew about God, it was Paul. If anybody knows about the grace of God, it should be us. God should have cut us off a long time ago. But aren't you glad God's still there walking with us, still helping us, still holding us up, still loving on us, even though we fall. Brother David, there's no telling how many mess ups we've done just today. But God just said, He keeps extending His hand of mercy toward us, helping us, loving on us. That's a good God. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad He didn't leave us where we were? Aren't you glad He changed us? Aren't you glad He took them things that were so heavy on us, the burdens of the world, the sins of the world, He took that all away. No man can do that. Money cannot buy that. But God Himself. If it hadn't been for God, where would we be? Brother Tracy, I know where I'd be. I wouldn't have what I have today. I wouldn't have the family I have. There's no telling absolutely where I would be. I don't have no answer for it. But I know I would not be where I am today if it had not been for God. Brother Darnell, I know you wouldn't be where you are today if it hadn't been for God. Brother Bradley, I know you wouldn't be where you are today if it hadn't been for God. None of us would be here if it hadn't been for God. We wouldn't even have the pastor we have if it hadn't been for a merciful God. We serve a good God. Listen to me. We, as Christians, it's real easy to get defeated in the day that we're living in. But can I be an encouragement? Hey, we have a reason to hold our head up. Amen. We can hold our head up high every day. Don't get discouraged by the world. Hey, listen to me. We have something that they don't have. We have mercy. We have grace. We have a God that loves us. They can have it too. But we don't have to walk around looking miserable. We can walk around with a smile on our face. Why? Because God loves us. He cares for us. And He loves His children. He's up there making intercessions for you and I. There's no telling how many things He's moved out of the way that we ain't even seen. How many obstacles down the road that He moved out of the way before we even got there, Brother Leo. We don't even know He's done it. But He's done it looking out for His children. Making provision for us. Moving things that we can't even see. Working in areas that we don't even know He's working in. But He's already doing things ahead of us before we get there. That's a good God. Somebody that, a God like that, that would look out for His children, man, I'd say He loves us. He takes care of us. The only reason you're here is because God loves you. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Man, can I say I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad He takes care of me. I wouldn't want anything else in the world besides what I've got in Christ. I know what it's like not to have joy, and I know what it's like to have joy in Christ. Man, He can make you feel like the greatest person in the world through Christ. But God, I hope it was a help to you tonight. Just don't forget, God loves us, and He takes care of us. Loves His children. I pray this was a help to you tonight, Brother Tracy. Do you have anything else?